We are on. Okay, so I guess this week and next week, this week having to do with really the issue of suicide. It's not such a pleasant topic, but it pops up throughout Kinos, and I think every year at Tisha B'Av morning I make a comment like, oh, there was issues of suicide. We'll see a few of those examples in Chazal today, and like I think every year I make a comment like, oh, that would like make a good cheer or something, like we should discuss that another time. So I figured this would be a decent time to discuss two I guess not like cheerful topics, but I think very interesting topics, this week and next week. This week on the issue of suicide, next week on the issue of agunot, classical agunot, the case where husbands are missing, or husbands or mostly things from the Holocaust, issues that came up at that point, or where the husband goes. That's next week's year. This week is the issue of suicide, the case of Roei Klein, but also a case of a tshuva, or a request, really, to commit suicide, as we are going to see shortly. There is somebody named Rav Ephraim Oshri. Rav Ephraim Oshri was... Rabbi Ephraim Oshri. So he was from Lithuania. He made his way. He was in Kovna during the time of the ghetto, and then during the liquidation of the Kovna ghetto, which is what this comes up now. And I read today, I was wondering how he survived the war as a Lithuanian. Very few Lithuanians survived the war. Some escaped, very few, because they were one of the first that they weren't really sent to camps. Most Lithuanians were just killed. They would just come, and the Lithuanians themselves took part in it as well. Yes. So he survived. Apparently, he got a job as he was going to be involved with this museum that the Nazis planned to build, where they were going to collect all the books and all the Jewish artifacts. So they needed somebody to tell them what everything was. So apparently, he was the one that they chose. That's what I read. I didn't see it documented. I just saw it, that line thrown out at one point. So it's probably what to look into more to figure out exactly how he survived. But he survived, and A, he had access to books throughout the duration of the war. So he wrote tshuvos, it sounds like, during the war. He researched things, questions that came up, and he writes in the introduction that it took me a while. He wrote he survived the war, came to... first went to Italy, and then went to Montreal, ended up in New York. He was actually the rabbi of Congregation Beth HaMedrash. Not this one, right. Beth HaMedrash HaGadol, which is a shul on the Lower East Side, one of the fancy, huge shuls. I think it seated something like 1,200 people in it. He used to give shirim on Sunday afternoon and fill the shul, which to me is like... Sunday afternoon, like that. I don't think I've ever given a shir on Sunday afternoon. But he would fill the shul on Sunday afternoon with his shirim, and he passed away in 2003, which is not very long ago. And he published these tshuvos. There's about five volumes of Shilas HaTshuvos Mima Makim, Responsa from the Debt, from the Depths, right? Not from debt, right? From the Depths. He published one volume, then he published a few more. I think they are available on Hebrew Books, which is where I got this copy. And it was also published in English. There is an English edition, but the English edition of the Responsa, this question that we'll see on the left is taken from there. But they leave out all the Torah. They have the question, and they kind of give you the answer, but they leave out the sources as how he came around to the answer. So, like, if you wonder how a five-volume Hebrew Shilas HaTshuvos form could be condensed into one volume, well, there you go. If you leave out all of the sources, so yeah, it could be condensed in that way. Okay, so this is the Shaila. On the 6th of Mar Cheshvan 5702, October 27th, 1941. I realize it didn't come in very clear on your printing. It came in a little more decently on the copy I printed in my house. So 2 days before the horrifying Black Day of the Kovna Ghetto, when some 10,000 men, women, and children were taken away to be butchered. Right? There were a couple of exterminations. There were a couple of killings of the Kovna Ghetto, and then this was going to be the end. So every one of the ghetto dwellers saw that his or her bitter end coming. At that time of confusion, one of the respected members of the community came to me with tears in his cheeks and posed the question of life and death. He felt that he could not bear to see his wife, children, and grandchildren put to death before his very eyes. For the German sadists had a system of extermination. In order for the murderers to enjoy the suffering of their victims, as a matter of course, they would kill the children before the eyes of the parents, and the women before the eyes of their husbands. Only after satisfying their bloodlust in this sadistic fashion would they end to the suffering of these men. Because he felt certain that it would be too painful to witness the horrible suffering of his loved ones, he asked whether he could terminate his own life earlier to avoid witnessing the deaths of his loved ones. All right, so in order to avoid, torture is a buzzword, as we'll see in this year, but in order to avoid this worse conclusion, right, so he wanted to commit suicide before having to witness his children being killed, his wife and children being killed by the Nazis. This way, it's cut off a little bit, but being spared a horrible death of great suffering at the something of the accursed murderers.
Hands.
At the what?
Hands.
Oh, at the hands. There you go. Good one. Right? He could also gain burial among Jews in the Jewish cemetery in the ghetto. Right? This way, if he died, right? I think that similar question was asked, I heard, during, not really asked to any rabbi, but people jumped out the windows of the World Trade Center saying that, well, at least this way they'll find the body. Right, so it's a similar type of question that he's had. This way, I'll be able to be buried in the Jewish cemetery, as opposed to who knows what's going to be with me. Okay, so that is the shaila that was asked. So his tshuva is about 10 pages long. Now, not classical 10 pages long. It prints a little bit bigger, and there's not as many lines as in a classical tshuva sefer. But it's a pretty lengthy response where he goes through many of the sources. So we'll go through the sources. Some he quotes, some he doesn't. And then some things that he does quote, his conclusion, and then we'll extend it to the issues of perhaps heroism, of perhaps saving one's life, sacrificing one's life in order to save others. That was the case of Roy Klein. So we have the case of this fellow asking the Shiloh to Rav Ephraim Oshry, and we'll use some of those sources on this, to understand the story of Roy Klein. Do we just remember that story of Roy Klein as the introduction? So this was during the Lebanon War, I guess 2006, I think. 2005. It was, I think it was the same time when Hurricane Katrina happened. The same summer, I think. Anyway, so the Roy Klein was a commander of his battalion. They were in Lebanon. That was the Olmert's Lebanon War. And the description that there's not much of a description that I saw, other than there was a grenade that was thrown to where his people were. He thought that if the grenade explodes, they're all going to die. So he jumped on the grenade, killed himself. He said Shema Yisrael, jumped on the grenade, and killed himself. And was able to save the life of his friend. So he is treated in Jewish lore as a hero, right? There are children. I remember I named the child Roy. It was after him. One of my members in Phoenix named their son Roy a couple of years after. And there are schools that are named after him. He is considered one of the legends of the IDF. So that's good. We just have to, okay, is that an appropriate thing to do, though? I mean, how is that permissible? He essentially committed suicide. So why would that be allowed? So we'll go through these issues. There's a couple of historical things to keep in mind that we will learn about, and then we'll see what kinds of conclusions that we can come to. Okay, so there is a pasuk in Bereishis. There are several pasukim in Bereishis. These are the first couple of sources. So right after but Noach comes out of the teva. Noach brings korbanos, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu turns to Noach and says, "This is the famous area." He says, "Well, you have the responsibility now. Peruvu, you're gonna have to, be fruitful, multiply, fill the land, and you're going to be in charge of all of the animals." Right? This is the famous vegetarian parsha, right? Where he now gives Noach permission that you're going to be in charge of all of the animals. And I start here with pasuk gimel here, right? Kol remesh asher hu chai lachem yeli achlak yerek esav nasati lachem eskol. Right, everything moving flesh that lives will be food for you, just like I've given you vegetables before. Now you're going to be able to eat animals. That's pasuk gimel. Pasuk dalet ach basar binafsho damo lo sochelu. Right, but flesh with its soul and blood you shall not eat. That is the source for eiver min achai. Right, that is the source for eating animals that haven't been killed yet. Okay. And then, ach baster bin afshod the molosuch, excuse me, va'ach estim chem lenafshu sechem edrosh, right? However, your blood which belongs to your souls, I'll demand miyakul chayed roshenu, and I'm going to ask all of the Well, the animals, they're also going to be responsible for killing people. Miyad ha'adam, miyad ish achiv, et roshes nefesh ha'adam. And from the hand of man, miyad ish ach, from his brother, I'm going to try to figure out the soul of each person, meaning you're going to be responsible. And shofich dam ha'adam ba'adam damo yishvach, a person who spills the blood of a man, ba'adam damo yishvach, that man's blood shall be spilled, ki betzel l'lokim asar sa'adam, because in the image of Hashem, I have made man. Right, so there is a responsibility for each person that is alive, and if one decides one kills another man, what happens to them? So there is a death penalty. Right, this is the source of this is the Zionist Bnei Noach. This is before we're getting into any Jewish specific laws. This is the general law of the land. Right, so there is a death penalty for that type of murder. So comes the Rambam and lays it out. He says. In the laws of murder, in source number 3, right, aval hasocher horig la'arges chaver shelach of the vahargo o shichpat chavero venichul ifnei hariv chiyotzi bo varakta chaya. Person hires somebody to kill somebody, or who sends a servant to kill him, or he binds a person, leaves him before a lion. V'chiyotzi bo varakta hachay, and then the animal goes and kills him. Right, v'chena horiges atzmo, and similarly a person who kills himself. Who all these people are considered murderers, and they are considered the sin of killing is on their hands. And they are chayiv misa, Hashem is going to hold them accountable, but Beis Din can't, right? All of those cases, you can make a case he didn't kill himself, he hired a hitman, or he told someone else to, or he committed suicide, so obviously Beis Din's not going to kill him if he already is dead, right? So all of those cases, he is quote unquote chayiv misa bidei shemayim for his activities, right? So we have there already the prohibition of suicide. And so in Halacha 3, he says, by the way, where do we know this from? Uminayin shekein hu adin. How do I know that that's the law? Sherehu omer shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam damo yishvach, zeh horig ba'atzmo shelo al yidei shliach. Right? So he quotes that pasuk that we learned, right? That person who spills the blood, his blood is spilled. That's referring to a person who kills himself. Estamchem lashosechem edrosh, zeh horig atzmo. And of his blood of your own lies, I will demand an account. This refers to a person who commits suicide. Okay, so A, there's a prohibition of doing it, and it's learned that from these psukim all the way in the beginning of Bereishis in Parshas Noach. Okay, so it's prohibited. Now comes the Medrash on that pasuk and says, well, there's an interesting word in there, ach. Whenever the word ach appears, what does the word ach mean? But, right, it's a word often that isn't necessarily required there, like the word basically, right, or similar type words. The word ah, so while in modern parlance we might have things called weasel words, right, the Torah didn't have any weasel words, right, so ach has a meaning. So what is learnt out from the word ach? So ach lahavi es hachonek atzmo. So ach is to include a person who hangs himself. Yachol kishaul. So maybe I would have thought even like Shaul. Now who is Shaul? So Shaul, maybe in our Navi Shir, we'll get to it in the next 4 years or so. Right? Shaul at the very end of Shmuel Aleph. Shaul is in a battle with the Pelishtim, and he realizes that the jig is up, and he orders his sword bearer, his trusty assistant, to kill him. The trusty assistant isn't so trusty, he doesn't kill him. So rather, not Shaul himself, literally falls on the sword. I think that's probably the source of the expression. Right? He falls on the sword. So Shaul falls on the sword. He committed suicide. So maybe Shaul also? Tamud lomar ach. So therefore the word ach excludes Shaul. So we have vindicated, this medrash, at least, seems to vindicate Shaul for that act of suicide that Shaul did. Okay? Another one, Yachol kechananya mishal and Azariah. So we just finished Daniel. So I recall all the way from, I think, Parak Beis of Daniel, right? The three men that were thrown into the fiery furnace. So what about them? Tamud lomar ach. So ach excludes them as well. So the Medrash doesn't tell us why they're excluded, right? And now, you know, Shaul killed himself. Hananya, mishal and Azariah didn't even kill themselves. They did an act, right, which caused them to be chayiv misa, right, which caused them to be killed by somebody else, right? But maybe even doing that act in the first place could be considered a form of suicide. But this medrash excludes them, excludes Shaul and excludes Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah. Okay, so that's one person that is excluded. Then we turn to the story in Maseches Avodah Zarah. Maseches Avodah Zarah is the story is probably more famous to us because we read about it every Yom Kippur and every Tisha B'Av, right? The Gemaras in they don't all line up. All of the renditions of the either the 10 martyrs, or in Tisha B'Av we read about the 8 martyrs, or in the Maseches Avodah Zarah we read about not as many, I think 5 or 6, and the names don't necessarily all match up, and by the way, it didn't all happen at once, right? When we talk about the 10 martyrs on Yom Kippur, it wasn't like a one day thing. This took place over a decade or two. Right, that these kinds of things were happening. So it tells the story of Rav Hananya ben Trajan. Rav Hananya ben Trajan was caught teaching Torah, and he was the one that was wrapped in the Sefer Torah, right? And his Talmidim asked him, Revi, you know, what do you see? He says, well, I see while the Torah is burning, I see the words are floating up to Shemayim. So it's to that they respond to him. I never realized this, the flip. Then they say to him, that where I start here, Afata pasach picha v'tichna sa'ish. So you too should open your mouth and let the fire in. I mean, it's not just I always thought this was just a suggestion, like, oh, okay, you know, you seem to be suffering, why don't we? No, it's a response to what he just said. He said, the flame is burning, but the Torah is floating up. So they say to him, so why don't you allow yourself to burn so that the Torah will float up, right? It's a quick comparison there. So Amar Lehen, so he responds, no, mutav sheyit lena mishin nasta ve'al yechabel hu bi'atzma. He says, better that the person who put me here should take me, meaning I should die naturally, rather than me kill myself, rather than me commit suicide. So, by the way, so what does that tell us, by the way? Just so quickly learning this, what does that tell us? What's the quick reaction to that? Right, what does that tell us about suicide? You shouldn't do it, right? So one can, he doesn't say that it's prohibited. What did he say? He said mutav. He said, well, better. I mean, maybe it's some kind of, I mean, is it required or is it not required? Right? So keep that in your mind. Right? He doesn't say it's prohibited. You know, what do you mean? That would be a, if it was really usher, maybe he should say, what do you mean? That's an issue of lo tirtzach, right? Even at this time, the mitzvahs still apply to us and I'm not going to kill. Right? He doesn't say that. He says, better for me to not do that. Okay. So Amar lo klatz toniri, the executioner. Rebbe, imani marbe bishal heves v'notel sefugin shel tzemer mi'al libcha. He says, if let's say I would increase the flame and I would take away the sponges that are on your heart, atem mivyani l'chai olam hava, would you take me to olam haba? So Amar lo hein, he said, yes, yishavali. He said, swear to me. Nish below, okay. You're like, swear to you, okay? Miyad harbid bishal heves v'natas sefugin shesem mi'alibo. So he did that. He increased the fire, took the sponges away. Yatsin nishmasu b'mehir. He and Hanina ben Trajan passed away very quickly after that. Right? And this Roman executioner was able to make it to Olam Haba, which is itself a very strange discussion. But that's it. So he didn't do it himself, but he allowed this Roman guy to make him die faster. Right? Also odd. Okay. So how does one understand? So these are the three main sources that people point to, right? We have Shaul, who did something. We don't necessarily know Shaul did the right thing, by the way. Right? Shaul, we know what Shaul did. We don't necessarily know how he was judged. We have Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who we know how they were judged, because Daniel, you know, we certainly get the indication from that, from Sefer Daniel, that they were good. And then we have this Hanina ben Trajan who establishes himself that I'm not going to increase myself faster by opening my mouth, but I'll allow the executioner to make me die faster. So how are these all to be understood? So there is another Gemara about that records suicide, and that is a Gemara in Gittin. Gittin has the 4 or 5 document in a row that discuss many of the Gemaras surrounding the destruction of the second base of Mikdash, and it tells the story of these 400 kids, 200 boys, 200 girls that were being put on a ship and they're being taken to Rome. The Gemara then comments that they realized where they were being brought for. They were being brought for to be used as sex slaves. That's what it seems. So the girls said, well, we're not going to allow that to happen to us. So the girls all jump off the ship. The boys say, well, if they did, and that would have been the regular way. They're going to do it to us the irregular way. So the men all jumped off the ship, and they all committed. And the Gemara seems to indicate that they're okay. That there's a baskel that came out and said that these kids are wonderful and etc. So Tosfos on that Gemara in Gittin asks how'd that happen? Right, Tosfos in source number 6. V'hatam rinam b'mesechas avodah zarah mutav sheyitlanam yishanasna v'ayichbol ba'atzmo. Right, how could those kids have all jumped off the boat? Doesn't it say in Mesechas Avodah Zarah better that a person be killed, but rather that the person who gave him life take it away, rather than a person commit suicide? So he says, hacha, why were these kids allowed? Hacha yureim hayu miyasurim. They were afraid of torture. K'dam rinan ilmalei negdu l'chanani mishol v'azarya pochu l'tzalma. Right, that it could be, this is a Gemara in Ksuvis that says that Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah were ready to die rather than do Avodah Zarah, but it could be that if they would have been tortured, maybe they would have done Avodah Zarah. I mean, torture perhaps is worse than death. So says this Gemara, says Tosfos, well, because they were concerned about, right, you're not allowed to commit suicide, but if you're going to be stuck in a, being tortured, so maybe one could do it in order to avoid suicide. Hayuma'anin osan velo hayuhorgan osa, right? That they would torture them and they wouldn't necessarily kill them. So to avoid that fate, right? It's one thing to avoid being killed by another, right? That's not appropriate to commit suicide to avoid that. But to avoid torture, maybe it's okay. That's all the Tosfos says on the page. Now there are those that interpret this Tosfos like the next opinion that we're going to say, but just reading those words, all he says is in order to avoid a fate worse than death, one is permitted to die. In the book Bloodlands, has anybody read that book Bloodlands? I got through the first 100 or so pages of it, right, about Hitler, comparing Hitler and Stalin, and it talks about how it talks about the starvation of the Ukraine, which I never knew about, and then he mentions that during World War II, when the Germans, we always think about World War II as the Holocaust, we don't necessarily think about the battles, right? But Germans fought the Russians, and they would not treat the Russian soldiers that they captured very well. So the book has an hypothesis that perhaps that worked against them, because the Russians knew that the end of them was near, regardless of whether they fought in battle or not. So they might as well, fight to the last bullet rather than surrender, because nothing, you don't gain anything by surrendering. So, and perhaps that worked against the Germans at the end, because they were able to fight more courageously. Okay. Now you see that now also probably with ISIS and stuff, that rather than be captured by ISIS, you might as well fight them. All right, so that is opinion A. So the opinion A, quoted in this Tosfos, is in order to avoid torture, one is permitted to commit suicide. That seems to be the implication. Opinion number 2 comes from the Ritva and Maseches Avodah Zarah. So back onto that Gemara about Rav Chanina ben Trajan. He says, "V'hadam minun b'hagadah d'Rabbi Chanina ben Trajan mutav yitlenem yishenasta v'lo echbol ba'atzmi." Right, that which we learn the story. The Rav Chanina ben Trajan said, "Better that I be that Hashem take me rather than I kill myself." So, kasav b'gilyonei hatosos shaya omer Rabbeinu Tam, that comes Rabbeinu Tam and says, "Deheicha shemisyare shelo yachrichuhu lavor aldas mutar lachbol ba'atzmi." Right, that where a person is afraid that they're not going to be able to withstand violations of the din, it is permitted to kill oneself. Right, if the fear is, right, what's the fear? The fear is that they're going to make me do Avodah Zarah. That was the fear. So yes, a person is supposed to die rather than worship Avodah Zarah. But if their fear is that they're going to succumb and they're going to actually serve the Avodah Zarah, so rather they should end their lives now. That is a suggestion from Rabbeinu Tam. V'halchi Yisa b'medrash, and then quotes this medrash that we quoted earlier. Right? It says, "Achas tam chem l'nafshoseichem edrosh mikana sara la'adam shelo yachbol ba'atzmo." Right? From here we see a warning: a person shouldn't kill themselves. Yachav hilu k'shol melech Yisrael. Right? Peir shechavol ba'atzmo v'shehaya what? Why was Shaul allowed to kill himself? Why does the medrash say that Shaul, I don't want to say off the hook, that's not a great term for this year, but why is it that Shaul is exempt from his punishment? Right? Shema Yavi Renu Al Das. Shaul was concerned that they were going to make him worship Avodah Zarah, and that he wouldn't be able to withstand. So therefore he killed himself in order not to violate that din. Tabalumar Ach Miat, the Bechi Hai Gavna Shari, that in that case it would be permitted. Umikan, and then this is where Tosos gets, the Ritva gets very dicey. It says Umikan lomdim lishchot hanarim bigzeros bifnei havaras adas, and this is where they learned out the idea of killing children in order so that they don't violate avodah zara. Aki matzasi bigalyoni atosos. I found this in some of the Tosfos sources, behem dvarim tzrichim talmud v'im gadol, and that requires much thought. El shikfar horazakim, it's somebody passing that then. V'shemanu b'shem gadol et sarfas, and we heard from those in, in France, sheitiru kein halacha l'maisa. They actually permitted that in practice. Now, we don't have to necessarily imagine what he's alluding to, but it'll be in the next source. But what is the Ritva saying here? The Ritva is saying that he's even going one in some way he is lenient and stringent are difficult terms to use here. But some way he's going one direction from the previous Tosfos, another way he's going in another direction. Right? Tosfos said in order to avoid torture you're allowed to commit suicide. Comes the Ritva and says, well, in order to avoid violating avodah zarah, why would one violate avodah zarah? Right? If you're willing to die, if you're willing to commit suicide, so you'll be willing to die rather than worship avodah zarah. So the Ritva is concerned, no, they're going to torture you in order to make you do avodah zarah. Right? That's his concern. So if in order to avoid avodah zarah, so perhaps I'm allowed to, and that's what Shaul was concerned about. But then he goes the other extreme. He says, not only is one permitted to kill themselves rather than violate avodah zarah, one is even allowed to kill others in order to make sure that they don't violate the avodah zarah. Right? That's what he's talking about. One can go ahead and kill children in order to make sure that those children, they're not going to know any better, in order to make sure that they don't violate avodah zarah, we're going to kill them. And he said it happened. It happened. When did it happen? What's he referring to? He's referring to the Crusades, right? This isn't necessarily the same, you know, all episodes in Jewish history have slight nuances, right? One didn't have the option of converting to being a Nazi rather than be killed, right? If you were Jewish, you were killed. There wasn't the choice, right? But in the Crusades, it was either you commit to Catholicism or we're going to kill you. So maybe I'll be able to withstand. I'll be willing to, but the kid won't be. So I'm going to go ahead and kill the kid before they have a chance. And this is recorded in several Sfarim record the following crazy story in source number 9. Source number 8, I accidentally printed that Tosfos twice because I figured I put it before, and I instead of cut and paste, I copy and paste, and whatever. That's why it's there twice. But the Beis Yosef is, of course, of Yosef Karo's commentary on the Torah, the basis for the Shulchan Aruch, right? The source base where the Shulchan Aruch came out of. And over the course of the Beis Yosef, so he went through several editions, and you'll read, and in the new fancy schmancy edition of the Torah, which I meant to bring, there will be a change in font, and it will say Bedek HaBayis. Bedek HaBayis comes from his second time through, right? The second or third time through, he added notes. Yosef Karo added things. So this is something that was added in. And he writes the following. He says, V'chasav Orchus Chaim. This is quoted from the Orchus Chaim. And he goes ahead and quotes the Medrash that we've quoted a few times already, right? The Medrash, Rabba, Dorish, Va'ach, he learns out Va'ach, etc. And we learned that already. Let's go to line 4, the beginning of line 4. Therefore, we learn from Ach, right? That's the end of the Medrash where he says, you're not allowed to commit suicide, but Shaul was allowed to, and Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah were allowed to. He says, Umikan mevi'en raya hashochtim hatinokos b'shas hashmad. And this was served as the source for those that killed babies at the time of Shmad, at the time of the Crusades. They knew the Crusades were coming, and adults went and killed children before the Crusades had a chance to come and get them. There is a story of, I think, the Maharam Rudenburg, that somebody did this and then came to the Maharam Rudenburg, and then the Crusades didn't come. I mean, he killed children, and then the Crusades ended up not coming into his town. So he went to the Maharam and asked him, how do I do tshuva for this? Which is like, so I forget the details of that. Maybe we'll cover in the next Tishbav or something. That is a what do you do? Okay, but this is another story of the same sort, but a little different. It says v'yesh osrim, and some prohibit it. And some prohibit it, meaning some take that medrash, right, and read it differently. Umafarshim hach tamal, and they explain that medrash as saying the word ach she'eino yachol la'arog atzmo. Right? That you're not allowed to go and kill yourself. Right? Know those three guys from Sefer Daniel. Well, they didn't kill themselves. They were put in a furnace. You know, someone else put them in. Right? Aval heim lo fagbat. They didn't kill themselves. V'shol ben kish shelo barasach chacham masa. Right? He jumps up and says, Shaul was wrong. Shaul did the wrong thing. Right? He shouldn't have committed suicide. Right? He had no right to. Right? He had no right to. So he's quoting somebody disagreeing. So you're not allowed to do this. You're going to quote this medrash to me. So A, I'll quote the Gemara to you. Gemara is quote a Trump medrash, right? And even the medrash itself, right? That word ach, you're going to darshan this whole allow people to commit suicide based on the word ach. I think the ach proves the other way. And then he tells the story. That there was this rabbi who killed children. Right, b'shas hashmad, sheyari sheavirim al dasa. He was afraid that they would be taken and they would be forced into convert. Right, v'hai imo rav acher. And there was another rabbi, v'kasalav. And the other rabbi got angry with him. V'karu tzeach. He called him a murderer. Right, v'hu lo chash levarav. And the other guy didn't care. Right, I'm doing the right thing. So v'amar harav hamuneya. So the rav who was trying to keep him from not doing it, he said im kedivrai. Right, if I'm right, Yehoreg Oso Rav b'misa mishuna, that Rav should die in a unusual death. B'chein haya, and so happened. And I have trouble even reading the last line. If you want to see what the misa mishuna was, you can read the last line. But that's what happened. Now, whether we paskin shailas from that story, not necessarily, but you see this real time machlokas, this real time dispute, these rabbanim, about whether it would be appropriate or inappropriate to do this or not. Okay, so now we so that's all 13th and 12th century France now, or France and Germany. Now we're going to go back to, okay, so now 1941 in Kovna. So the next couple of sections are taken from from Rav Oshri's Sefer. So he quotes a few other sources. He says, number one, he says, what about the Yam Shel Shlomo? So Yam Shel Shlomo quotes from the Rush, and he that he comes out, I guess we'll say L'chumra, right? He comes out with the idea that this shouldn't be done. And he says, and he asks, what about Shaul? So he says he doesn't think that it's possible that Shaul would have committed suicide. And I guess we'll just read four lines from the bottom, or five lines from the bottom, where it says Ve'efshar. Right in the middle of the line, it says Ve'efshar shehu mefarish yis'al el bi al averos ve'al zeh hayam misyare. He said, what was Shaul nervous about? Shaul was nervous that they were going to make him do averos, and that's what he was scared about. Halo amar v'dekaruni v'ze inyan misa v'chein targim yehonosan v'katleni elohu mit'ame shekasafti adkan. Right, and that's the reason that I wrote. Okay, this doesn't have the whole Yam Shel Shlomo in it. The Yam Shel Shlomo explains that he doesn't think that you have any source that would permit suicide. He says, "What about Shaul?" He says, "Shaul, either what we said before was afraid of violating Avodah Zarah, or one could say Shaul would be nervous that it would be a huge chil Hashem." Meaning, it's one thing for one person to die, etc. But Shaul was the king, right? And that for him to die at their hands would be very demoralizing for the Jewish people. And perhaps a third thing that the Yom Shalom, I don't think suggests, but the same thing, the same concept, is that by Shaul, if Shaul is captured, right? What's going to happen if Shaul is captured? Everyone's going to try to save him, right? And Shaul realized that the jig is up, right? We're not going to win this war. Right? Rather than have more people risk their lives, more people sacrifice themselves, right? We might as well just end it now, and that's perhaps why it was permissible for Shaul. But to extrapolate from Shaul to a regular case, says the Yam Shel Shlomo, one is not permitted to do. The Shalos HaTshuvos Mimamakim then goes ahead and quotes from the Sefer B'Samim Rosh, So I think at Ashal Shudas a couple of months ago, we talked about the history of the Sefer Besamim Rosh, right? The somewhat dubious history. Now, he quotes the Sefer Besamim Rosh Hamiyuchas Laharash, right? The Rosh is a Rishon, right? And that puts him in pretty significant standing. We know that this Sefer Besamim Rosh was written by a fraud, right? Somebody claimed that he found the tshuvos of the Rosh. In fact, what he had done was make up his own, right? He made up his own response of the Rosh, and there are things that are so wild that the Rosh would never say. He was a maskil, right? He was a he was of that ilk, and he was trying to to perhaps bring along Judaism, so to speak. So he has a tshuva about this, and he claims that it's not considered suicide unless you commit suicide for ideological reasons. Like if you're Sophocles is the one who, or he was forced to, what?
Socrates.
Right. I don't remember Socrates, I think, was forced to.
Yeah, he didn't really.
He didn't, right. There are those who, right, someone who says, you know, I'm a human does not belong on this world, right, and or I don't want to use, I want to stop using resources, right, and therefore he'll commit suicide. So says the B'Sam Rosh, that's what's really prohibited by Ba'amid Atzma B'das. But to commit suicide, to avoid torture, to avoid these other things, so he says would be permissible. Comes the... The Rav Oshri says that that's wild. He quotes others that say that it's wild. He quotes a Chassam Sofer that says that's why they called him the Kizveh HaRash, the embarrassment of the Rush, the falsity of the Rush. Rather than the Rush, he says he seems to reject that right away. So then he gets to the conclusion. So what's his conclusion? He says, well, first of all, Ulam, right, Efshar Lomar Shor B'Chanina Ben Trajon Hichmar Al Atzma, that the story of the Rav Chanina Ben Trajon being wrapped around with the Torah, it could be that he was being strict upon himself, and Biyoster extra strict upon himself, HaPimidus Chasidus, based on an act of righteousness. Aval B'Emes B'Chai Gavda Lom Mikrimi Avad Atzma V'Das. But perhaps in that case, it's not considered suicide. The Shaul HaMelech Yuchiach Shenafal Al-Chanito. Maybe that Shaul would be a proof to that, because Shaul realized he was going to die anyways. So he realized that he would die in that particular way. U'b'chol zos nearly, however, in the next paragraph. But from all this, it seems to me, Shalafarnes Berabim Psak Halacha. Shemafarsim Berabim. To publicize in public, as a psak, as a halacha, shemenidon didon mutter lo la'adam la'avid atzma l'das, that in our scenario, meaning our case in Kovna, we're permitted to commit suicide, but vaday aser. That certainly is prohibited. Ki v'zeh haynu nosnim yad l'poshim hatzorim yimach shemam, because that will give a hand to the sinners who are afflicting us, that their name should be erased. Ki kampamim tanu kalpi hayehudim al she'ena ma'avdim atzmam l'das k'moshe asu Yehudi Berlin. He says, because sometimes they would taunt us and say, you should just commit suicide like all the Jews from Berlin did. I don't know the story there, but he's alluding to something. And that kind of attitude is a chil Hashem. But that seems like the Jews have no faith. Right? The Jews have no faith that Hashem is going to save them. From the evil and the impure hands of the afflictors. Right? The idea of confusion, of forgetfulness. Right? That's their whole goal. Their whole goal is to make us not have any hope. So
hopelessness.
Okay. So they don't want us to have any hope. So for us to just commit suicide, he thinks is inappropriate. And what did he? So did he prohibit it? Did he prohibit it? Did you see that first line? What did he say? He said to publicize in front of everyone to do this is not allowed. Right? It almost sounds like he said, like between us, but all right, we'll get to that shortly. What exactly he said. He says, however, v'amnam yeshut tzayim kan b'gaon ki lo hayu b'gito kovno mikri ibed v'ladas zula shlosh ha'nashim sh'rucham nachla b'kirvam. He says, and it's a good sign, right, that amongst all the people of Kovno, nobody committed suicide except for three people that were kind of Shirucham nafla bekirbam, that they're, I think the English actually says they're crazy. But, Yeser Yoshvi Hagito Haminu Bemuna Shlema Kilo Yitosh Hashem Asimova Yomer Lemashkis Dai, Kulam Haminu Bevia Samashir of Cholyam Chikolo Shiyava. But the rest of the people, they had full of moon until the end that, I don't know that they were going to be saved, but that Hashem hadn't forgotten them, and Mashiach was going to come. All right, so he concludes this tshuva by saying, certainly not allowed to publicize on this. There is an article that somebody published where he came across this. Said, wait a second, did he really say that it was Mutter, but not? So he actually, in this article, you can see the last line. He says, I phoned Rabbi Oshri, who lives in New York. He told me that he had ruled that suicide, even in the circumstances described in this response, and were a priori prohibited. Meaning he said that he never meant to say that it was Mutter at all. He felt that it is totally prohibited to commit suicide. That's what he told this fellow. Okay, so Ad Kan, the story of the Holocaust. So I'd like to shift a little bit towards the story of Roy Klein, which you mentioned before. Right, he jumped on a grenade in order to save his fellow soldiers. He was the officer to save his, I guess, underling, the people that were under him. So there is, I want to give a whole shiur on this about, you know, that ties into kidney donations and risking one's life and giving up or how much one is allowed to risk one's life in order to save another. But I spoke with, last week, I was at the RCA convention, so I actually had a chance to drove Rav Schechter for about 45 minutes back home from the convention at one point. So I mentioned him that I was giving these shiurim, and I asked him about this issue. And he said pretty much it all boils down to a particular minchas chinuch. There is a minchas which has nothing to do with that. The minchas chinuch asks on the, and we'll do it outside because we're running low on time. The minchas chinuch asks on the mitzvah of going to war against the seven nations. So asks the or when it come, come when come when one comes in contact with the Amalek. Minchas chinuch says, how are you allowed to go to war? He says, isn't every time you go to war, isn't that pikuach nefesh? Aren't you risking your life, right? And one is not allowed to risk their life for mitzvos, right? You're not allowed to. So how is one permitted to put their life into danger for the sake of mitzvos? And he writes here at the end, the underlined part at the end, im kein chazinan da Torah gazra lilcham imahem afti hisakana. That it must be that the mitzvah of the Torah is to fight with these people even though it's dangerous. That the idea of danger is pushed away in these circumstances. Mitzvah larog oso afshi istakin. It is a mitzvah for one to, and it is a mitzvah to kill them, even though one is going to be in danger. But tzarachin, he leaves it as tzarachin. But Rav Schechter actually builds an entire article based on this principle. Right? What's Minchas Chinuch saying? Is that obviously the mitzvah involved in going to war are going to include risking one's life. That's, by definition, what the Torah is doing by telling you to go to war. So he says, if that's the case, all of those rules about saving one's, you know, not whether one could save their life in the face of another one, or to not risk one's life even though several other people are going to be killed, those kinds of issues all fall away in these circumstances. The issues of war are, what does it take for our team to win the war, right? That's going to be the deciding factor. And Rav Schechter goes on to say, he said, that's the issue with, you know, land for peace and all those things. Land for peace is going to be subject to not, I mean, as some tshuva said, well, of course you give land for peace, because if one Jew is going to be saved, it's worth it to give back all of Eretz Yisrael for one Jew to be saved. Rav Schechter says, that doesn't work, right? Because it's not true. He said, yeah, technically that might be true, but it's not, but when it comes to a government and Medinat Yisrael and Jews living in Israel and having a place to stay, all of the things involved with Israel, so all the regular mitzvahs of risking one's life and not risking one's life for a mitzvah, they all fall away, right? It's all about, it becomes an idea for the klal, not an idea for the prat. Right, and that's how the army has to function. And that's how a government has to function. Right, it's not going to function as one example would be. So, in theory, everybody should give all their money to medical research, because that perhaps could save one guy from cancer. Right, so that doesn't make any sense. Right, everything's going to fall apart. Right, so when it comes to the klal, when it comes to the rule, when it comes to battle, so the general rules fall away and it becomes more of a all for one, one for all. right? So for Rory Klein to say, okay, so we're all going to die anyways, probably. So for me to take the grenade in order to save the life of all these other people, while it's true that one perhaps to commit suicide in a regular example may not be permitted, but in the rules of war, those rules change, and ultimately because more soldiers are going to be saved, so therefore he has the status of being a hero for perhaps being more promotive of giving the Jews more of a chance in order to win that war. The last source kind of says a very similar thing. And the Brisker Rav, he quotes this Minchas Chinuch, and he gives a little bit of it makes one more point. But that's essentially it. So, okay, he added in. Maybe not on tape. All right.